Deaths come as Gaza residents built a tent city near the wall as part of a planned six-week-long protest kicking off today, which is known as Land Day. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berger, Nate Feldstein, Augusta Nermin Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Join WHFR April 14th at New Place Lounge in Dearborn for our annual Radiothon Blues fundraiser. Support your favorite local public radio station, meet your favorite WHFR DJs, and listen to great music from local artists Maggie McCabe and Howard Glazer, Jason Bone and the All-Stars, and more. New Place Lounge is located at 22723 Michigan Avenue in Dearborn, and all admission goes to support WHFR's Radiothon. That's April 14th at the New Place Lounge. We'll see you there.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy! Good afternoon. Welcome to the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3, the station making waves, also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thanks for being with us this Friday afternoon, as we've got, some big news here at Henry Ford College, and certainly a decision that's been several months in the making. A new president has been named of Henry Ford College, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, talking about that. Also, what else do we have coming up on the show today?
Yeah, lots of interesting things related to diversity, Alan, and we're going to hear a little bit about the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center, which is formerly known as the Wayne Mediation Center, and this is an opportunity for people, as stated by one of the members involved in the Board of Trustees, it's a place where people can find common ground, and this is about finding a commonality in differences and creating a peaceful resolution to a situation that could otherwise escalate and get into the courts, etc. But we're going to talk about the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center, which actually is located right on Outer Drive here in Dearborn.
Garrison Place, I think, if I remember correctly. Siham Awada-Jafer will be joining us for that conversation. We'll also talk about the Images and Perceptions Diversity Conference, which is going to be coming up in, just under 3 weeks' time, April 19th at the Ford Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn. You know what I'm talking about over there on Michigan Avenue. We'll also talk to, Michael Bremer, talking about And Then There Were None?
Yes, the Agatha Christie famous play is going to be interpreted here on our campus starting this coming Thursday, actually. It's only running for two full weekends. There will be Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, evenings, and then Sunday performances in the afternoon.
I'm going to one of those. My wife's a huge Agatha Christie fan, so
love it.
Had to be on the calendar.
Christopher Bremer is a great director, and we're lucky to have him, so that should be exciting. We'll talk to him in a little bit.
So now, instead of "And Then There Were None," I guess we can say and now there is one, and that is our new president of Henry Ford College, named on Wednesday evening at a special meeting with the Henry Ford College Board of Trustees. They announced the pending appointment of...
Russell Cavalhuna.
There you go.
That's right. He is our new president. And I was lucky enough to be able to be at the official meeting where they announced, they deliberated. It was an open Board of Trustees meeting literally two nights ago. They deliberated after their final interview of Dr. Michael Nealon, who happens to be our vice president of academic affairs. He was the internal candidate going forward. And so it was down to five candidates, including Dr. Nealon, with his interview on Wednesday night. We found out that one of of the candidates at the last minute took themselves out of the running. It was quite dramatic, actually. It was a text message that apparently went through where he had an opportunity, last minute opportunity, and so asked if he could be removed. Loved the experience, loved the college, but something too good to pass up, I guess. And so it was down to four at that point.
Okay.
And there was a little bit of it wasn't a unanimous decision. There was very little debate, but we did have one of our, or actually two Board of Trustees members out of the seven who started their first vote for Dr. Michael Nealon, again, mm-hmm. our internal candidate, Trustee Hussein and Trustee Petlichkov, but it ended up that the others really were feeling very strongly about Mr. Cavalhuna. Trustee Hussein Berry switched his vote over to Cavalhuna. Mary Petlichkov did not. She still voted against the appointment, but agreed that in the spirit of moving forward, in the spirit of camaraderie, she would certainly be supportive of him, even though it wasn't her top choice. So it was a little bit dramatic, a little bit exciting. And like you said, we now have a new president.
And I guess the statement that we had, and I understand more details forthcoming today, as a matter of fact, I think is the plan. But at the time, as of Wednesday evening, Dr. Michael Mead, chair of the Board of Trustees and chair of the Presidential Advisory Search Committee, said that he was selected as the president of Henry Ford College. He's eminently qualified and has proven to be an effective leader, the kind of leader we need as the college celebrates its first 80 years and looks forward to success in the coming decades. Continuing the quote from Dr. Michael Mead, the board and I are very pleased with the quality of the finalists and with the depth, transparency, and due diligence of the search process. The results have exceeded our high expectations, and we believe that Russell Cavalhuna will be an exceptional leader and member of the Henry Ford College community. Now, when we were having the public forums, we did go through resumes and CVs mm-hmm. of, you know, all of the finalists as they were announced. And to recap, Mr. Cavalhuna comes to us most directly from Western Michigan University, where he serves as the executive director of the College of Aviation at Western Michigan. It says duties akin to an associate dean role. Western's got a great aviation program, one of the largest in the country. In fact, a third largest collegiate aviation program, which operates at three locations in Florida. During time there, he oversaw a budget process and did not allow a deficit. Supervised six department heads and six assistant department heads, developed and executed a multi-million dollar plan for the university's expansion to Charlotte County, Florida, and other acts as well. Other experience includes time as the commissioner and former two-time chairman of the Michigan Aeronautics Commission. He served as assistant United States attorney, federal prosecutor for the U.S. Department of Justice in Grand Rapids from 2009 to 2015. A lot of this information, I believe, is also at the release on hfcc.edu, the college's website, so you can get full details and more on Russell Cavalhuna, our new president.
Absolutely, and we look forward to it. I understand he goes by Russ, so because okay. nobody could pronounce his name on Wednesday night, so like we're just going to call him Russ. So that says something. I think that's kind of a nice, kind of exciting. But this is the sixth president of Henry Ford College, and in fact, we are going to be celebrating our 80th anniversary as an institution. So he's inheriting an awful lot of work, but I think at a time when he can really significantly lead our college in a very exciting way. This is big, so we're excited to have him and look forward to welcoming him on our airwaves hopefully sometime down the road soon.
That would be nice to, and I know we've did that in the past when we've had others that have taken on that role, or in the case of Dr. Jensen when vacating
sure.
The presidency of the college. So obviously we want to be good friends and neighbors to the people in the administrative building next door, right?
You got it. Well, I feel the urge to play some drums now, Alan.
There we
so
go.
I'm going to jump into that a little bit, but we do have a lot going on the show, so we look forward to having you stay tuned. And just stick with us. We've got more on the way.
Siham Awadajafer up next, and we're going to talk about the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center here on the new WHFR Journal.
Do we have an obligation to be moral? How do we even know what is right or wrong?
Do we really have free will, or are the choices we make the result of causes and effects beyond our control?
Is my mind or soul a separate thing from my body, or just a function or product of my brain?
Are these the type of questions that interest you? Do you want to develop your skills in reasoning? Then you should check out the courses in philosophy that are offered at Henry Ford College. Philosophy deals with big perennial questions, questions that keep cropping up each generation because they are too big for one person or generation to answer completely. It is a quest to find the fundamental truths about our lives and our world through critical thinking. Henry Ford College regularly offers the following courses:
Introduction to Philosophy,
Introduction to Logic,
History of Philosophy,
Ethics, and Eastern Philosophy.
These courses will help you earn your degree and will help shape your thought for the rest of your life. For more information about the philosophy courses at Henry Ford College, look online at hfcc.edu or contact Professor Ryan Scholler at rshowler@hfcc.edu.
Thanks for being here on the new WHFR Journal on this Friday. We are interested in learning about resources in our community, in our own backyards in some cases, that oftentimes aren't needed until the problem pops up or exists. And at that point, it's almost like a little too late because we spend our time focusing on the problem and we don't know the resources available. So we're going to jump way ahead of the game this time around, Alan, and
okay.
We're going to bring in a very interesting topic as it relates to diversity. And it's literally in our own backyard here in Dearborn. I'm talking about the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center. And I am just hearing and reading wonderful things about this organization. It's formerly the Wayne Mediation Center.
Okay.
And didn't know it existed, to be honest with you. I'm going to admit that. So I'm guessing I try to stay on top of things. And if I don't know about this, then chances are a lot of other people don't either. And that's why we're here today. And that's the purpose of this program, in fact. So we are joined in studio by the vice president of the WCDRC, Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center Board of Directors, Siham Awada Jafer. And we are very much looking forward to finding out how, should we need this help, what's available, how we can get to it, and what some possible outcomes can be. So, Siham, welcome to our show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's
as
a pleasure.
Well.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about this organization.
Well, it's a phenomenal organization. As you said, it was called the Wayne Mediation Center, and I have to sort of get used to calling it the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center. But what this institution does is that it creates a safe space for individuals who are having issues, having disputes that they cannot resolve. And sometimes, rather than having them go in front of a judge and having their decisions made for them, we bring them into the Wayne Mediation Center and we create, again, a safe space for them to communicate and find out what the real issues are and why they can't come up with a common ground and a solution for what their dispute is. And the wonderful thing about this and what encourages people to participate in this process is that they are sort of the captain of their own fate. They can create their own resolution to their problem and with continuous communication, and it's all written down, and each party can put down exactly what they need to be comfortable with a certain resolution, and it's legally accredited as well. And so again, it's in their own hands. They're not in front of a judge where a judge says, okay, this is what you're going to do, no questions asked. And I think that's really the beauty of this process.
My son, when he was in fifth grade, sixth grade, was trained as a peer mediator.
Wonderful.
It sounds like the kind of the
yes.
same thing.
It really is.
And they do it, the kids are learning mm-hmm. to do it, but the adults are not so much. That's why we need organizations like this. I don't understand that. What are some of the, because you say people, they, this is at anybody pretty much, and any issue, circumstance?
Absolutely. We do a lot of family court issues. I'll share with you some of the mediations that I've done mm-hmm. where it's within families. I've mediated between a father and his mom. You know, sisters, sister, brother, neighbors. And sometimes, normally they should last 3 to 4 hours, but I'm a stickler. I've kept them there 11 hours until we actually attain a resolution. And the wonderful thing about this is that sometimes they're there, not really because of why they're there. There's underlying issues, and through that conversation and through being able to be face-to-face with someone who's mediating that conversation, they find out exactly why they're there. And they find out that maybe what they're fighting about is not really important to either one of them. And we found that happen quite a bit. We do probate issues. The school programs, like you mentioned, are really, really, really huge. We actually go into the schools and deal with truancy issues, the special ed department, and try to mediate, you know, those kinds of things. And also for foster children that need to be placed, those kinds of mediations are done as well to find the appropriate, you know, placement for them and try to, again, mediate between the families that need that conversation to happen.
The goal being obviously an acceptable and favorable outcome without having all of these issues end up in the court system, then ultimately is that...
Absolutely,
okay,
absolutely.
Yes, right, yeah.
And within the schools, our school program is really, really, really huge.
Oh, sure.
Given the truancy issue and the truancy problem that we've had, we've been able to go in there and talk with the parents, create a synergy between the parents and the school, as well as a relationship with the student on both ends, and create a program where the child... you know, deviates from being truant. And obviously that has a lot to do with the parents' issues. And we find out the root cause. And rather than, you know, saying you can't be late, we go in and we find out why they're late. Sometimes it's transportation issues. Sometimes it's, you know, the fact that, you know, the parents just, you know, can't seem, they have other kids and they can't seem to make it right. So we try to, it's a solution building process, and it's been very, very, very successful. And, you know, we've been in the Detroit school systems in Westland and a few other schools that have really benefited from these programs.
Yeah. You indicated the phrase, people have a chance to be heard. People get to be heard. I would sense that 11 hours into a
they
dispute,
get heard quite a bit.
They get heard quite a bit. But, one would perhaps in support of this would say that that's one of the problems with dispute. We don't feel like we're being heard. It's
exactly.
Like you hear me, but you don't hear me, or you're not hearing me, you're not listening to me. And that's an incredibly frustrating feeling. So when there's already an issue, and then you both sides are feeling like they're not really listening, it ultimately does come down to communication, I suppose. The role of the mediator specifically is to keep that funnel of communication moving back and forth, and how do you do that?
Well, you know what? Sometimes, I'll be totally honest with you, sometimes I've just wanted to get up and say, you know, shake and say, what is wrong with you? Do you hear what this is, what he's saying? But that is the role of the mediator. You have to be very unbiased and very, very, very neutral. And the tools that of the trade kind of thing is, you know, I've heard you and I think this is what you said. Is that what you said? And then, you know, the other party gets a chance to explain and say, you know, is this something that is acceptable to you? And if not, what would be acceptable to you? And the thing is, before, you know, at the very beginning, when there is that, you know, that very uncomfortable, you know, atmosphere, very tense, you want them to speak to you directly and not to each other. And then once it, you know, dissipates a bit, and then you create that conversation between the two of them. But people want to be validated. They want to be heard. And, you know, and that's what I was saying earlier, in that sometimes they come in and the concept as to why they're there and why they're there to talk about this certain dispute has nothing to do with, you know, their real issue with the other person. And so once that is resolved, sometimes the dispute is sort of, you know, second tier.
Kind of goes away. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so it's about validation and it's about hearing them. And when you create that, you know, that third party initiative, it opens that line of communication between the two of them as well.
And given
so very important.
All the schools and other cases, how many cases or how many of these disputes is the organization involved in on an average basis? Maybe a yearly basis?
Over 2,000 a year.
Wow.
And we are in the courts.
Not
as
you
well.
Personally, right?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? 2,000 times 11 hours. That would not work for me. But we're also in the courts as well. We have a presence in the courts, and a lot of the judges use us, especially if their dockets are full, to mediate some of the issues there. I'm actually trained in domestic resolution building, but that was a very short-lived career for me. Again, this is all volunteer work, of course, but it was very difficult for me to sit with two parents who really did not put their child's, you know, best interest at heart. Mm. So it was very frustrating and very, very difficult for me to remain unbiased. So I still have the training, but I don't utilize it because I don't feel I can be that unbiased because I'm always on the children's side. And so that's a very difficult aspect that you know, we administer and deal with, and we have some phenomenal administrators who can keep their cool and you know, not shake the dad or shake the mom and say, what's wrong with you? But that's been a very, very successful aspect of the Mediation Center as well.
Yeah, very good. Very telling, too, because I'll bet that mom and that dad both feel equally that they have their child's best interest at heart. And you said you'd favor the side of the child, and well, there you go.
Right. And yeah. And sometimes, you know, in those kinds of situations, you know, sometimes the children are used as a pawn, and I think that was the most difficult part for me. So you know, we have some really well-trained mediators who deal with that kind of issue. I'm also I was the former chairwoman of the Domestic Violence Coalition, and so when you know that comes into play, it's you know, and a mediator has to be very unbiased, and so that's you know, that's very vital and important.
Sure. We are joined in studio at this time with Sihamawada Jafer, who is Vice President of the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center, and we are the Board of Directors, and we are formerly known, the organization, as the Wayne Mediation Center, which sounds much more familiar to me, of
yes,
course.
Yes, Wayne Mediation Center.
How long was it the Wayne Mediation Center, do you know, before we moved over to this?
Well, the Mediation Center has been in existence since 1987, so this is very, very recent. Basically months, not years. So, okay. Yeah, it has been changed recently. And in the process of reconstructing our website as well, which is wcdrc.org, there's a training. And again, this is volunteers. We always want very passionate individuals to be part of our mediation center. And we do trainings periodically. I believe there's a training coming up next week, and there's still a few spots available. So if anybody is interested, and they can call the mediation center and find out exactly the details. I actually did my training at U of D Mercy, and so you know we usually use that pilot center for the trainings. And again, volunteers, you know,
what kind of backgrounds do your volunteers come from? I'd imagine that's where we were going to start. Excellent.
A lot of teachers that are retired. Mm-hmm. We've had judges that have been retired that come in. You know. Lawyers, again, you know, individuals who are just really passionate about this. Usually, you know, some kind of, you know, college graduates come in and do this. You have to have a little bit of a background in terms of I don't want to say legal background, but just some understanding of,
some exposure,
you know,
to the process and how it works.
Absolutely. And the training is really, really
even things like paralegal training
phenomenal.
Or something like that might be appropriate.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that would be an added incentive for someone to come and do that. And then we actually provide the hours that are needed in terms of practicum to become certified through the center. So they would be sitting with an experienced mediator who would, you know, watch them for a couple of times, and then they would participate in the mediation with the experienced mediator at hand to create that experience that they need. So it is a phenomenal thing to be involved in. I think it's one of the most fulfilling things that I've done, because when you walk in there and you just see two people arguing and just, you know, see that anger in their face, and when you make them walk out and, you know, they hug and, you know, they're laughing, and you know that you've brought that, you know, that entity together, especially when it's family members. A lot of the probate cases with families and estates. Mm. So those are really trying cases, because you have a lot of people that you have to deal with and, you know, sort of keep control over.
All sorts of sets of emotional baggage and family issues and emotion when it comes to probate anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you remember back in 1967 when you did this? And that's why I think, you know, that,
those are the kinds of conversations.
But when you do come up with a resolution and you see that family, you know, still have their differences but are willing to, you know, make peace and move on, I think that's the most fulfilling thing that we can do in this organization.
Nice. Would you walk us through a typical example of this whole process from start to finish? Let's say Alan and I are professionals. We work together. We have a dispute. One of us is going to sue the other one, we think, because we're angry because we did whatever that we felt was not
relevant
to our coursework or something.
Sure. Yeah.
We don't want to get too crazy, but professionally something wasn't right. We didn't agree. So I'm going to sue you first. Hey, we found out about the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center. Maybe we can avoid having to go to court and create this whole
court
thing.
Court expenses and everything else.
Court expenses, yeah. Because I'm not paying because he's guilty, of course. Right?
I'm teasing.
Yeah. Sure. So
you know you always have to pay.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So we stumble across your website, your phone number. What are you going to ask us? How long is this going to take? What's it all like?
Well, there's actually a form on our website that you can fill out, and it has all the information on there. And then what happens is you will get a call from one of our intake individuals at the office, and they will talk to you about what their dispute is and what you hope to attain from it. Both of you would get that call. There would be a time that would be scheduled where you'd both come into the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center. I want to call it the Wayne Mediation Center. You know, all the information would be filled out, and you would go into a room with mediators, and we would first of all ask you to talk about why you're here and, you know, what your issue is, of course, one at a time, and the other would be asked not to interrupt the other while they're talking.
That's going to be the hard part for
that
me.
That would be hard.
I'll try to. Yeah.
So all that information would be written down. Okay. And then once the mediation process starts, you know, there'd be communication, you know, as normal. And then If there is a problem and you cannot sit in the same room together, what we would do is we would put one of you in a separate room and then go back and forth. And then once there is a resolution and we can write down everything that you agree to, we would do that in a formal piece of paper, you know, in a document. You would each sign it, and we would send that out to, and if you were in the court system or with your lawyers, that would be sent out to the appropriate individuals, and your resolution would be pretty much all set. And if it's with me, you'd probably be there 12 hours until you figured out what you wanted to do.
Pack a lunch.
Yep.
and
we actually did order lunch for them.
and as you said, it is legally binding. At that point, we have to do whatever we agree to.
Yes, and we'd have to do what you agree to.
We change our mind the next day. It's
null and void.
This is it, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It would be null and void. And the thing is, you are not court mandated to be part of this process. That is voluntary. And so when you come in voluntary, of course, things that you agree to come from you. It's not from a judge. It's not from the mediator. It is coming from you. And so that, you know, usually that goes forward.
We can't have court-ordered arbitration in some cases, but not mediation.
Exactly. Just arbitration, but not mediation.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Different things.
Different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like if I can get Alan to come with me to this thing, both of us have some buy-in that we feel there is a shot to do that. There's a chance that this is going to work. So do you see most people, this is like their last ditch before they hit the court system? Like, we tried it on our own. It didn't work. So now we're coming to you.
Absolutely. And I think with court costs, with legal costs, you know, hiring a lawyer, people don't want to go that route. And this is a great solution, you know, to that. And it does afford people solutions, and it's in their own hands. I think that has to be the best thing that the Wayne Mediation Center or the Right, yes. The Wayne Mediation Center can offer, Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center can offer, in that your solution is coming from you, and you don't have to say, the judge made me do this, and I didn't want to do this. This isn't how I wanted to go. And I want my fate in my hands. And if it's legally binding, that's amazing.
And so, I want someone who's a neutral third party to listen to my side of the story.
And validate you for how you're correct. Feeling and why you're feeling that way.
Now, you mentioned some work in the schools, you know, dealing with teens and parents, and
truancy.
It would also seem that in truancy in particular, these would be kinds of skills that should be a part of a curriculum that students have available to them on a regular basis in terms of being able to resolve disputes and things like that. Is there, you know, I mean, what do you see professionally or things going on? Is there that type of resource available to a lot of students that need it the most in terms of being able to come up with skills to resolve conflict?
I think there is. I think there needs to be a lot more, definitely. And Susan, you said your son or daughter,
your son
was a peer mediator. And I think that's where really it starts. And once you have those skills as a mediator and you go through that training, your thought process is a little bit different. And I think if students can go through that training, their conflict resolution ability really, really goes to a different level, because you start thinking differently. And when you address someone, rather than addressing them with your emotion, you can address them in a different way where you can get the response that you want without the anger and the frustration. And those are certain tools and certain phrases that you use while communicating. And I think they're amazing, especially for our teens these days. And I think they're all just, you know, the frustration level comes up a lot quicker maybe than it did in our day. And so those tools are very, very important for them to use.
Life skills for everybody as much as for professionals.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, why did you do that to me? You can't do that to me. I didn't like it. You know, it's, you know, did you feel that was necessary, to react that way when we were speaking? And so that gives the other individual a little bit more control, you know, to talk about rather than being on the defensive. So, you know, just some different tools that are available. And students really need, I mean, we talk about bullying, and we do a lot of work with that as well. Bullying is running rampant in the schools, and, you know, I know that administrators are addressing it the best they can. But again, you know, these tools are really important to address it at that level.
Yeah. And even I'm thinking of when the young people that get some training or people going through the training to have some time to volunteer through the Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center, but if you own your own business or if you manage employees or if you have coworkers, I could see these skills being very valuable in a number of different less stressful, you know, places. But the word sort of diffuse kind of comes into my mind a lot. So having some of these abilities to be able to diffuse things before they even get to a point where something like this would be necessary, I think would be critical and very helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, I own my own business, and I find myself using these tools on a daily basis. And I find that I have become a better listener and a better communicator, because when you are dealing with someone who is upset about something, this is their reality, and you have to be part of that reality in order to diffuse, you know, their anger and their frustration. And when you can do that, you know, you become a lot more productive, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah. In the beginning of our interview, I mentioned that this is a resource really in our own backyard. Literally is kind of in our own backyard. Where are we, and how do we get to you?
Well, we're in the Garrison Place. It's at 19855 West Outer Drive. So it's Outer Drive and Michigan Avenue, right in that corner there. It's in the same building where Debbie Dingell's office is. We're on the second floor, and our phone number is 313-561-3500, and you can call the office at any time from 9 to 5 in regards to the training or in regards to any dispute resolutions that you would like to address.
Great.
And, of course, the website is also, once again, wcdrc.org. Specifically, most of your cases, I assume, geographically come from Wayne County. Are there other organizations like this around the state? Or, I mean, will you, you know, find people from all over the place?
It's
part of your mandate.
Our jurisdiction is Wayne County, basically. I'm not going to mention the other ones, but yeah, Wayne County. Our jurisdiction is Wayne County and the courts within that system.
And I was going to ask, is there a fee involved to use the service? And if so, is it how reasonable might it be?
It's extremely reasonable, and it goes on a scale well, depending on the individuals coming in and the pay level.
Okay. But the volunteers are obviously doing this because they love it and want to make a difference. And
absolutely. Care. It is a 501c3. It's a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. and it is a service that is provided as a nonprofit, and that's why our volunteers are extremely important to the organization.
Got it. Very good. I'm going to sort of paraphrase from a quote that you actually made on a release that I read, which was sort of what intrigued me in general to this whole organization, talking about the idea of, changing the culture of conflict here in Wayne County, or wherever the organization exists, but changing the culture of conflict. That's so well put, and it just makes perfect sense.
Thank you very much. I actually do a conference called Images and Perceptions Diversity Conference, and we talk about the different cultures that exist in terms of the Arab, African, Hispanic, Asian, the disabilities community, LGBTQ communities, and when you talk about all those different cultures and those variations, you sometimes think about the clash of cultures, and being able to create that conversation and being able to create and understand really the commonalities that we all have together really puts you in a different mindset in regards to cultural competency, and really accepting and allowing these different cultural backgrounds and cultures to more so enrich your life rather than fear them because you don't understand them. So creating that understanding creates that enrichment, and that's what we try to do through the Images and Perceptions Diversity Conference. And it's our 15th year this year. It's going to be April 19th at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. And the different topics that we discuss are human trafficking. We talk about DACA. We talk about sexual abuse. Domestic violence, marginalization of communities, and the individuals that actually come in. Are from different backgrounds, so our presenters are as diverse as mm-hmm. the individuals that come in and speak. And I think both of them sort of mesh together in terms of the mediation center and the work that I do, because it's about understanding others, and it's about the acceptance of others, and it's about validating other people and where they are and what is important to them. And to be able to accept that and value that and nurture that and make it grow, rather than try to sweep it under the rug.
As easy as that sounds, it's one of the hardest things we're dealing with as a society, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
It is. I think the unfortunately the license to hate time frame has been really, really challenging. And throughout the 15 years that we have done this conference, I feel like it's the most important conversation that we have ever had this year, because we need to get back to, we've always had issues, and we know that. And even I think within the people that are in this room, we all have our biases, and we all have, the prejudices that we walk around with. But we can filter them, and we can sort of make sense out of them on our own and within our mind, and yet still be personable and accepting and loving to others. But I think sort of the license to hate and the license to be able to wear that on your sleeve and be very vocal and very visible with those emotions has been a real issue. Because we're not all angels, of course, but we can process that within ourselves and still be loving, accepting people. And I think that border has been a little bit deteriorated, and so we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the, you know, the loving, accepting individuals that we all can be, and through that, it needs to have a conversation, and we need to be able to relate to one another on a common ground. Yeah. You know, the conference does that, I believe, and people walk away with a different sense and a different perception of what, you know, they're seeing through media and you know, through other conversations. And so it revalidates the fact that we are all human beings. We all need to be accepting of each other. We all have something to offer. We all have something to give, and we're all very valuable in what we represent.
Sure. Conscious or unconscious, growing up that way or learning right now about these different mindsets, it's still a choice. It's still a choice, and it's free will, which is what we have as citizens of our, you know, of this earth, and some guidance. Maybe a little course correction is a good thing. Henry Ford College is involved in sponsorship of this. Where can we learn more about the conference?
Absolutely. Henry Ford College and Dearborn Public Schools are both very, very, very intricate participants within the conference, and have been for many, many years. You can go to 3D Consults. It's the number 3, the letter D, consults.com for information. And you can call 313-910-1955. It's going to be at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. It starts at 7:30 in the morning with a full complete breakfast, and going in to the noon hour at 12:30 for a complete lunch, full array of different items for lunch, and will last until 4. The wonderful thing about this is teachers can earn sketches for coming to the conference, and we also offer continuing education credits for social workers, for nurses, therapists, counselors, you know, mental health professionals. So, you know, they have to stay the whole time, but they can definitely earn those CEUs that are necessary. We've got Wendell Anthony, Barbara McQuaid, MSNBC's Richard Liu, who has his own program, is an amazing individual. Haas Lehman, who is the star of Killing Jesus in the movie, also the star of The Visitor and Nurse Jackie, if you've ever heard of that show. Dr. Yusuf Musallam, who is part of the Dearborn Public Schools, will be presenting on marginalization of communities. Dr. Zilby from Washington, D.C. We've got Sheriff Benny Napoleon, Chief Mike Jaffer, and also Chief Gerald Brown from the Wayne County Airport Authority. So they're going to be talking about community policing. Dr. Tom Watkins, who will be addressing one of the hugest issues that we have, which is the opioid epidemic and mental health. So that's something that he'll be focusing on. Carolyn Clifford from WXYZ, Guadalupe Lara. We have Haji Najah Bazzi from Zaman International, Nabih Ayad, who is the civil rights attorney and also the founder of the ACRL. Very, very poised and focused on, you know, the immigration issue, the DACA issue, and, you know, very involved, hands-on with that. We've got a presentation from the National Arab Orchestra, wow, who will be playing for us, and really looking forward to that. And we have Alex Jaffer, who's actually a rapper and a comedian, so he's going to be presenting with us. Francis Wong, as well as Roland Wong from U of M. So we have an array of individuals. Teresa Mayers is coming in from Florida, who is a former police officer, and she has an incredible story. She was actually running after a criminal while she was 8 months pregnant. And when she got to him, he looked at her and said, "You're pregnant. Why are you running after me like that?" And so they had this wonderful conversation, and she was able to take him in without any issues because he felt he felt that if she was going to do that, he was going to work with her. So she has some amazing stories as well. But those are the individuals that will be engaging. And you have an array of LGBT, African American, Asian American, Hispanic, Arab American. Just, you know, the speakers have to have that representation. And so we welcome teachers, law enforcement officials. We are MCOL certified as well, so any law enforcement that come in can get funding through the MCOLs process. So, you know, corporate individuals, community members, you know, healthcare professionals, especially educators, you know, they're sort of on the front line there, and especially social workers and nurses too. So so that's the story.
I was going to ask Alan, would you cover my classes on April 19th? I think I'm going to be busy that
you
day. Might,
okay, you got something you, going on then, huh? Yep.
All right. One more
would
time.
Would love to have you.
The Images and Perceptions Diversity Conference. This is going to take place April 19th, starts at 7:30 a.m. at the Ford Performing Arts Center on Michigan Avenue.
Another, absolutely.
Just around the corner from
us, as well. In our own backyard.
And information at 313-910-1955. And you said 3D Consults. Was that .com?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, very good.
Absolutely. That's our website, which will take you right to the registration site.
Great. And since we're giving information, one more time, could we have the phone number, please, to the WCDRC? And then we will note that the new website is WCDRC.org, which stands for Wayne County Dispute Resolution Center. But how can we reach by phone to get information about the next mediator training or whatever's necessary?
The phone number is 313-561-3500. And more than likely, Naomi will be answering your phone call and directing you to the right information.
Great. We thank you so much for your volunteer service to our community and our community at large, as well as your time today in the air. Very interesting and impactful work. So thank you. Grateful.
Susan and Alan, thank you so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, just wanted to let you know that spring and summer class registration is now open at Henry Ford College. All you have to do is go online to your WebAdvisor account and sign up there, but you have to do it before May 9th. That's when they close registration, and you'll have to wait a few more months before trying to sign up for classes again. The classes begin May 8th, so you still have some time to reserve your spot, but classes fill up quick, let me tell you. That's why I'm telling you now, go on WebAdvisor and see what classes you can get into. If you don't have a WebAdvisor, that's no problem. Just call the counseling office at 313-845-9611 and they will schedule a date that best suits your time. That's 313-845-9611.
Take our house lights out to 3/4.
Don't forget we got that pre-show announcement.
Okay, and now we'll make our pre-show announcement. Yep. Fade the music out. Okay. Fake the announcement.
So I am live at this time with Chris Bremer, who is directing Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, which is being brought to you through the Henry Ford College Theater Arts Program and the School of Liberal Arts. We are very excited to be sort of on location, and I actually just came out of the theater as they're starting some performance practices, and it looks like we've got a hit on our hands here. Chris, welcome. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. So wonderful to be here. I hope it's a hit, but it's really a fun show, and it's great working with the students. I mean, I really enjoy this, and I think they've grown a whole lot, and they've got a pretty exciting show.
Nice. So I think people that might not know a lot about theater will at least recognize the name Agatha Christie as one of the, you know, premier mystery writers of at least a previous generation, if not the new generation. But I'm glad that she is still being represented in theater. Why this particular play, and what's going to be special or unique about this interpretation?
Well, first of all, Agatha Christie is the grand dame of mystery writers. I mean, she truly is. And this was considered her sort of opus. The play is called And Then There Were None, but it's really from the novel 10 Little Indians. So it is one of her finest works. It's a play where the characters all arrive on this island, and they are shortly accused of murder. But as the scenes play out, each one of them are slowly murdered off. And it is, it's really exciting. Wonderful character studies. It speaks to our consciousness as individuals, so it has a social conscience aspect to it, as well as just a good, fun old mystery where you got to figure out who done it.
Nice, nice. And so many of those, that sort of style of performance is really timeless. I mean, we can sort of interpret it, but I think of like the... not a direct connection, but like the Godspell interpretations, that we see it in one period and it's interpreted that way. But there's a lot of mystery going on in our world today at a number of levels. So I think this is something that certainly everybody can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you enjoy Hercule Poirot, any of the sort of period mysteries that you'll see on Netflix or television, you'll just have a blast with this one. We are setting this in 1939, right before World War II. The actors have done a fabulous job working on the accents and really trying to make it as real as possible and building the suspense. And like you said, it's timeless. You know, the mystery is a... tried and true entertainment vehicle, and I think you'll have a blast if you come out and see this.
Tell us about some of the particulars. When will we be able to see it? What is the ticket cost, and how do we actually obtain tickets?
Well, you can actually buy tickets online right now if you go to the Henry Ford Theater website, and you can purchase them. It's $10 for students and staff, $15 for adults. It is absolutely appropriate for anyone, I'd say 12 and over. It will run April 5th, so it'll start a week from today, and it'll run for 2 weekends. And so our performances are 8 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we have 2 o'clock matinees on the Sundays. So hope to see you all there.
Absolutely. When we talk about representing our student population here on campus and trying to bring the community in to our college to experience different things that our students are involved in, this seems like just a perfect opportunity for someone that has not come to the theater before, that has not experienced the talent that we have here, to be able to showcase our students a little bit. Speak to those people for a minute. Why should they come and see what's going on at Henry Ford College?
Well, the fact of the matter is that many of the students who've come through here over the years, you're seeing on Detroit stages, and some of them even nationally performing. So this is their sort of the stomping grounds. This is where they get their, you know, feet wet and their hands dirty, and this is how they figure out how this craft works. And the fact of the matter is, I run a professional theater in West Bloomfield, and I hold our students to the exact same standards that I hold any professional actor, because that's why they come here, is to learn how to be a pro. And they have made wonderful strides, and I think you'll be really pleased if you come out and enjoy the show with these fabulous actors.
Very nice. Again, Chris Bremer, director of And Then There Were None, performances Thursday through Saturdays, April 5th, 6th, and 7th, April 12th, 13th, and 14th, starting at 8 o'clock. And then we've got matinees on Sundays, April 8th and 15th at 2 o'clock. How long will the show run? How long physical time of the performance itself?
Well, but this is an old-fashioned play. There's actually 2 intermissions, 3-act play. However, you'll still be out within 2 hours and 10 minutes. So it's a lot of fun.
Christopher, thank you for your time. Break a leg, as they say. Good luck, and we're excited to have you here at Henry Ford College.
Thank you, Susan. We really appreciate you coming out. Thanks.
We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Do you love art? Great. Henry Ford College is hosting its annual art and design exhibitation. The exhibit will showcase the best work from all of the art and design classes throughout the 2017-18 academic school year. The reception will begin Monday, April 2nd from 4:30 to 7 p.m. There will also be an award presentation. Join us April 2nd through the 12th to experience our students' creative creations here at Henry Ford's McKenzie Fine Arts Center. See you there.
This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. Thanks so much for being with us this Friday afternoon as we look at things going on in and around the HFC campus, the community of Dearborn, and the surrounding area as well. We've had some great conversations today, and we still have a few more minutes left to go on the program, and a few housekeeping things we want to let you know about that are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks that we think you might be interested in. And it's all going to start off with mentioning that next week on Sunday, starting on April 8th, begins the Radiothon 2018 here at WHFR. This, of course, many longtime listeners will know, is our once-a-year fundraiser here at the station so that we can keep making waves. And, of course, in addition to all of the incentives and opportunities for you to pledge and show your financial support for WHFR, we also have some great programming that's going to be coming up over the course of the week of Radiothon. Once again this year, we're going to have special live performances from Studio J every day of the week during Radiothon, and that's going to start on Sunday afternoon. Now, normally we have live from Studio J on Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6, but because we want to showcase all of the great things that we do here at the station, we figure we'll spread the love around and do it every day of the week from 5 to 6 p.m., starting on Sunday evening with Scott Fab performing on the Singer-Songwriter Symposium, and then we'll have some early pre-war Delta blues from the Blues Preacher Monday on the Doghouse, classic jam rock of Chosen by Fate on Tuesday on the Rollin' and Tumblin' Show. On Wednesday, we'll have the pleasure of welcoming in the Planet D Nanette for some wonderful jazz on Jazz Montage. We'll have indie rock from Kimball on Live from Studio J on Thursday afternoon. And then we'll have some rock and blues on Friday and some punk on Saturday. It all kicks off next Sunday, April 8th, going all the way through Saturday, April 14th here at WHFR. And let's see, that'll be every day from 5 until 6. We'll also have special programming throughout the week. Monday, April 9th on Primetime Theme Attic, we'll have Phil Mack joined by Chipper Sam and Greg Addington of Dearborn's The Hangabouts. Then during another edition of The Theme Attic on Wednesday morning from 10 until noon, local singer-songwriter Judy Banker will be in studio. 2 weeks from today, Susan McGraw and I will have the pleasure of welcoming in Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly as our guest on the new WHFR Forum. John B. O'Reilly Jr. joining us. That'll be April 13th, Friday the 13th, from 1 until 2 p.m. Also during the week of Radiothon coming up, for those of you who are interested in collecting records, including vinyl albums and 45s, we'll have a special vinyl record show taking place here on the HFC Dearborn campus right outside of our studios on Tuesday, April 10th. Tuesday, April 10th from noon until 5 p.m. right here in the Student Center building, the M building on campus, where you'll be able to see through. And maybe if things aren't too busy, take a look around the WHFR studios with one of our staff members that will be on hand. We'd be glad to show you around. But we'll have an eclectic collection of albums and 45s from our vinyl bins from years gone by, and more current stuff as well. Literally thousands of items to check out for your collection and maybe add to it. It's going to be open to the public. Once again, that's going to be Tuesday, April 10th from noon until 5 p.m. Detroit Jazz will present a first annual Radiothon studio jam session taking place Friday the 13th, 2 weeks from today, from 8 until midnight. We'll have live interviews and in-studio performances with Earl Jones and friends. And we wrap things up with one of those great WHFR Radiothon parties and benefit concerts on Saturday, April 14th, from 8 until midnight. That'll be taking place at the New Place Lounge, 22723 Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. From 8 p.m. till midnight, we'll have Detroit blues artists Maggie McCabe and Howard Glazer, Jason Bone and the All-Stars, and Big B and the Actual Proof. So a great Saturday evening of blues at the New Place Lounge. $5 donation at the door, 21 and older, please. More details on all of these events available at WHFR.FM, of course, our website. Another event we wanted to take a moment to tell you about. A few weeks ago on the program, and this is before Radiothon, so it won't interfere with being involved in any of the Radiothon activities, but a few weeks ago on the program, we welcomed in some guests from the Downriver Detroit Student Film Consortium. We heard from several of the students that are involved in the program, and Scott Gillespie, who heads up this coalition, this consortium of people learning the art of filmmaking and finding their voice. They're housed in Dearborn. Housed in Wyandotte, and they'll be having their 2018 world premiere showing of their films coming up on Saturday, April 7th. So next Saturday at the Trenton Village Theater, which is on Jefferson Avenue in Trenton, 2447 West Jefferson Avenue. Doors open at 5. The show starts at 6 p.m. And it will be a wonderful showcase of the great work that these students have been doing throughout the course of this year with the Film Consortium. Sort of the cap off, and we get to see what they've got. And then, of course, they'll enter some of the films into festivals. And obviously, all things go from there. So that's going to be the 2018 world premiere of the Downriver Detroit Student Film Consortium. You can find out more about the group simply by Googling Downriver Detroit Student Film Consortium, and they've got a Facebook page, and information on the premiere and how to reserve seats is available there at their Facebook page. One last thing we want to mention coming up in a couple of weeks, and this is new and exciting here on the Henry Ford campus, and that is that the head women's basketball coach, Gwen Burton, has announced that they will be holding tryouts for current Henry Ford College students coming up in a few weeks. The tryouts will be held in the Memorial Gym, which is Building H, on Saturday, April 21st and Sunday, April 22nd from 1 to 4 p.m. This is in an effort to develop a roster for the 2018-2019 athletic season, so the team will get going late in the fall or early in the winter next year, and it'll be the first time in a couple of years that the Lady Hawks will have a team competing in basketball as a varsity sport. It returns to the college after an absence of a few years. Coach Burton has capped the tryouts at 50 students, but information is available through her, the women's basketball coach, Gwen Burton, at gburton1@hfcc.edu. Also, that information available on the Henry Ford College website, hfcc.edu. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks for being with us on the new WHFR Journal. We'll be back next Friday afternoon, and let's see, stay tuned. We're going to take a trip down Highway 61 coming up next here on the station Making Waves.
Join WHFR April 14th at New Place Lounge in Dearborn for our annual Radiothon Blues fundraiser. Support your favorite local public radio station, meet your favorite WHFR DJs, and listen to great music from local artists Maggie McCabe and Howard Glazer, Jason Bone and the All-Stars, and more. New Place Lounge is located at 22723 Michigan Avenue in Dearborn, and all admission goes to support WHFR's Radiothon. That's April 14th at the New Place Lounge. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Phil Mack, and I host Thematic and Primetime Thematic, and I am a volunteer DJ.
I'm Andy Parks, the host of Strictly Gospel right here on the station that's making waves, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hi, this is Mike Holloway, host of the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hi, I'm Bill Keith. My program, Light From The Underground, and all the programs you hear on the station are curated by a dedicated staff of DJs who donate their time and effort to bring you independent, non-commercial radio programming. Thank you for listening.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Stay. When I Highway 61 is on the air. I'm DJ Kitty Love, and I'll be with you here on WHFR.FM 89.